Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
God, I can't wait to get into this with you. I love, love, love. I love Sundays. I love all of it. You're probably thinking, I am too, because how many of you are pulling for the Cardinals today? All right, any Rams fans in here? All right, all of you, listen, just join me in a, why don't we just put our hands together, give it up today for those Cowboys. Oh, just kidding. I know that many of you don't like God's team, but I do. No, really, we're here to study the Word together today. I just want to see if you're already asleep. And thank God you're not. You're alert, you're alive, you're ready to go. And I love the study that we're in this book study of Galatians. Most of the time, we teach through Scripture the way Jesus did, which is by topic and interest and all those things. But once or twice a year, we actually take the Bible in books or sometimes verses by verses and go through them that way to give us a better flavor of what the Bible says in big chunks of Scripture together. And so this is what the book of Galatians, that study is. And we've been going through this a chapter a week for the last few weeks. If you're just starting with us today, we've already covered chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Today, we're covering chapter 4, and then we'll wrap up next week with a combination of chapters 5 and 6 together, and then we'll start into our next series together. But Galatians is such a phenomenal, phenomenal insight into how the working of the grace of God actually is in our lives. For most people, they don't understand, and it's true for almost everyone initially, and that is the books in the New Testament that follow the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then there's Acts, and then there are several books in the New Testament. Those are all essentially letters from the apostles to either other pastors or churches in general, and they usually have to do with something that is developed in the heart or a congregation, a group of people that have started walking with Christ in a life-saving way, in that new, fresh walk, and then somehow things get off track a little bit, and they need some correction. And you know what I know? 2,000 years later, we're still the same way. We start walking with Christ, and we get excited, and then things happen, and we find that we, just like those guys, need a little realignment and a reminder, and hey, that's not how it works, and it's supposed to be this way. And so some of the times, it's things like what we see happening in Galatians, where there's this letter of correction that comes back, and as the leader of the apostle who is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit begins to bring correction, we get powerful and profound glimpses into the realities of how God works, deep and meaningful doctrine that we hold on to. All of those things come when people engage the Word of God as we're supposed to live it. And so as we go through Galatians chapter 1, we were actually watching as the Apostle Paul, working under the Holy Spirit, brought correction to the people there who started working out or started living in this new relationship with God through what Jesus had done by faith. This group of non-Jews that had received the gospel of Christ, they were very excited about it. And they started off with a bang. Everything was great. And then another group of teachers came in behind the Apostle Paul and actually started giving him some real instruction on, you know, we know that you're not Jews, but now that you're in the club with us, here's some things you need to do so that you can stay in the club. And so that was really chapter one, Paul going, I can't believe you actually started right and then went back to a legalistic approach to God. It's not how it works. And so if you missed chapter one, that's what Pastor Tom was helping us understand through chapter one. Chapter two was actually this glimpse of what happens to any and every one of us. Often, the longer we walk with God, the more susceptible we are to what we talked about in chapter two. And that was the actual correction of one apostle giving to correction to another apostle. So the Apostle Paul was calling the Apostle Peter out because the Apostle Peter, who walked on the water with Jesus, I mean, knew him inside and out, had actually gone back to this religious approach to each other and to God. And then the Apostle Paul just called him out on it and said, that's not how you do this. In fact, what you're doing is really hypocrisy, and it's hurting a lot of people. So if you missed chapter 2, that's what that was about, dealing with how do we keep from going back into the old legalistic way of loving God. Chapter 3 was last week. We talked about the inner working of grace and what God actually intended for us to receive by grace. For so many people, we tend to think of grace as this kind of get out of jail free card that God gives us so we can kind of live any way we want to and still be okay with him. It's like live like hell, but go to heaven too. And that isn't grace at all. In fact, some of you are like, did he just say that in church? Well, the context was right. So, you know, I wasn't actually cussing. It sounded like Christian cussing though, but I wasn't. It was literally talking about that. Anyway, my point is, most of the time we tend to think of grace that way, this kind of sloppy, doesn't matter how you live kind of idea. But that isn't what grace is at all. The approach to grace we looked into in chapter 3 really had to do with the fact that there's nothing we can do to earn God's favor. We can't earn our way into rightness with God. Our rightness with God is a gift from him if we receive it by faith in what Jesus did for us. And so that was what that was about. And then we followed it up with right towards the end, there's this really powerful glimpse that we looked at last week before we kind of pushed pause and got to today. There's this really powerful glimpse we looked at that grace isn't simply get out of jail free card. This is helping us understand it's the grace of God working inside of us that actually begins to be the transforming agent that changes us from the inside out. So many of you that are familiar with some of the New Testament and are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit and some of the list of the things that the Holy Spirit does inside of us, it's a direct work of the grace of God at work in us. And so really a lot of neat things coming together in this particular study. But today I want to talk to you about what I think is really the center of everything we're talking about. So today, if you need a sermon in a sentence, it is this: relationship is everything. It's right there at the top of your notes in case you're wondering where that's at. That's what the title of today's sermon is. And so we're going to be looking at this. In fact, if you're ready to study the scripture together, let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask him to guide us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to us. We're so grateful for who you are and how you're working in our lives. Today, we open our mind, we open our heart and spirit to the authority of your word. We're asking that you would give us insight that changes our lives forever. For your glory, in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, I know we're studying Galatians chapter 4, but the very first verse we're going to look at is the tail end of Galatians chapter 3, and that's going to step us up ready to go to chapter 4. So here we go. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says this: you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. All right, here we go. Listen to verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. All right? So I wanted to start with that today because as we go through chapter 4, you're going to see that the relational dynamic, the relational context that God is talking to us about, he's going to use the phrase sonship. Everyone say sonship. So he's going to be using the phrase sonship to help us understand how God wants us to relate with him. But about half of you will just tune me right out because you're like, female, never been a son. And what I want you to understand is when it comes to the way God works with us in who we are as a spirit, our spirit is neither male nor female. That's a temporary assignment we have while we live on this earth. God says, if you're in Christ, that's what we were talking about. There's neither Jew nor Greek, so your nationality doesn't matter. Slave nor free, your socioeconomic status doesn't matter. Male nor female, apparently that doesn't matter to God. You're all one in Christ. In other words, God's saying, I'm working on something deeper than your plumbing. So there you have it. LifeLink is PG-13 and here for a reason, apparently. Just wait till we get the relationship series. We're going to go there in February next year. You're going to love that. But hey, come back to right now because we're not there yet. Let's get spiritual in here. Bless the Lord. I'm just kidding. You guys awake this morning? Okay. So here we are. The issue is, by the way, ladies, don't feel like the Lord's picking on you. The Bible calls all of us, including men, the bride of Christ. So we get our due as well, okay? So all of us have he's an equal opportunity clunker, if you will. It's like, I'm just going to see if you can pay attention to me spiritually. So that's who we all are, okay? Bottom line is, now that that's out of the way, we're dealing with this issue that comes down to the context of relating with God in the context of sonship. So let's watch this come together. We're going to pick it up in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this: "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law." In other words, God sent his son Jesus, and he came into the systems that we are born under. He's born of a woman, just like we were born. All of those things, but he did it to redeem us. "That we might receive," what's the word? Adoption. Everyone say adoption. Adoption to sonship. In other words, God wants you to experience the spiritual adoption into his family. And we're going to see in a moment this is a big deal, especially the people who are listening for the first time. Because you're his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. God has also made you an heir. Okay, so let me talk to you just a little bit about some of the different contexts we're going to be working with. Then I'm going to work you through three different perspectives of what this verse just helped us understand. Then we're going to talk about how to relate with God from a relational context. The people who were hearing this from the very first time were a people who were used to a very legalistic, very God is way up there, big, powerful God. We are very way down here, little, tiny, pitiful people. And if we don't do it just right, he'll strike us dead. And the idea that God was this big, overwhelming spiritual power was real to everyone. What wasn't a part of their working picture was that God actually wanted us to be family. In fact, God, to most of the people then, was more like a master or a sovereign, like a king. And while it is true that God is a sovereign and he is the master of the universe, that the way he wants us to relate with him is completely different than that. So as we get into this morning, here's what I want you to really understand. The way you look at God has a huge effect on the way you relate with him. The way you look at him, the way you perceive him, the way that you imagine him has a huge effect on the way you actually engage him. Does that make sense, everyone? So I want us to take a good, slow look at three different things that we can pull from the scriptures we just looked at that we just read. So it has to do with being this master-father idea. So let's look at this. Number one, write this down. A slave has a master. The son has a father. The slave has a master, the son has a father. Now, all of us, every one of us can relate to both of those in the sense that every one of us have been slaves to sin. We all know what it's like to be driven by darkness, driven by the compulsions of sin that we just can't seem to get free of. We all know what that's like. It's just pressure and just drives and drives and drives on us. And yet, that's what we see the relationship between a slave and a master feels like. However, while a slave has a master, the son has a father. And the father relates to his sons very differently. Think about this. I love the way that Jesus actually demonstrated the heart of God the Father to every one of us. All right, because a father, we've all seen pictures of, or we've all seen examples of this. Many of us are this way. But where you have a father who just loves his kids, and the kids are always just climbing all over him and jumping up in his lap, like, la, 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 you know, swinging him up on it. How many of you did a little swing like that when you're baby? We all did that, right? You know, and if you just think about the way that Jesus actually related with kids, I mean, they were climbing all over him. It really made his disciples upset. They were like, hey, Jesus, tell these kids to get out of here. But Jesus was like this kid magnet. I mean, do you know what kind of guy you have to be a kid magnet? I mean, kids see through everything, so it was legit. I mean, he was like, hey, come on up here. Like, he's pulling coins out of the ears, you know, maybe candy all in the robes. Like, hey, come, you know, who knows? I mean, what does it take to get your kids pretty jazzed? I mean, that's the heart that God had, the Father has of us as kids. But this was mind-blowing to people because they were thinking God's this distant thunder, just cosmic storm looking for somebody to you know, fried the next time they got out of line. And Jesus was saying, the scriptures here helping us understand, that isn't the heart that God has for people. God wants us to come to him not like a master and sovereign and a king and, you know, blah, 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 but all that kind of stuff. He said, no, come to me like a father. Like a father who loves his kids. That's what the scripture says here in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. You didn't receive the spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. In fact, you can kind of tell how you're relating with God, about slave or father, depending on if you're afraid of him or not. And the reason we're going through this has nothing to do with whether you feel good or not. It's are you taking full advantage of what grace has given you to relate with the Father the way he wants us to? But he says, you received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, that's the original language that we would use would be like daddy. Daddy, the most endearing term of fatherhood is daddy. All right, so that's what he said. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. All right, so God is not interested in religious rituals and the formalities that goes with all that. He did everything he did in order to our relationship to be reconnected with him like a father. Everyone say father. So a slave has a master, but a son has a father. The second thing is, a slave is an employee, but the son is an heir. A slave is an employee, but a son is an heir. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, now if we're children of God, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. A lot of us have had this particular experience. I'll run this scenario by you, see if you don't relate with it. It's kind of dangerous to talk about lunch about this time of the day, but picture yourself walking into a restaurant. You know, you walk in there and it's dinner time and it's Friday night and there's a pile of people at the door. You're like, ugh. So you're probably like me. You run the quick filters and say, is there another restaurant I can go to? No, I'm just going to have to wait this one out. Is anybody like that besides me? Okay, so you go there and you walk up to the desk and there she is. She's like 15 and a half years old. You know, I don't know why they put such young people out there, but, you know, you're like, is it legal for you to actually work here? I mean, you know, you're standing between me and dinner and... And she, you know, she gives you the little wand. It goes, bzz, you know, and it lets you know it's working. But you won't get your buzz for about an hour. You know, so she sits there and she's playing with her phone or, you know, looking at. Oh, I don't know what that book is. You that play around with this book a little bit. You know, whatever. You look over her shoulder and half the tables are empty, and you're like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, seat people left and right. I mean, I'm hungry. Has anybody had that experience? You know what that is? That's somebody who doesn't care. That's an employee. I mean, have you ever been to like a mom and pop restaurant? You know, they got all their kids working there. And that's a whole different experience. I mean, they're putting people everywhere. And I was like, bring the card table out here. We'll set you on the sidewalk. Here's a little chair. Well, I'll serve you. I'll run back. I'll cook the dinner. I'll bring it back out. It's like, hey, what else? Got to do some dessert. Oh, it's all my mom makes the best. I mean, there's the difference between an employee and a family business. You get it? God isn't looking for spiritual employees. God isn't looking for hirelings who will just do his bidding. God wants us to know, hey, wait a second. You're in the family business with me. This is eternity every moment. Listen, once you're born again, you're in the family endeavor. We're about saving people for all of eternity. So that, and it changes the way that you walk in here. For example, you know, if you think about this, you know, many of you, in fact, most of you actually serve in different capacities of LifeLink ministry. But you're in the family endeavor. That's the heart of God that beats every day, every week for people to come and meet him here. And every time we do whatever it is that we do in our different places of service, that's what's really going on. And there's two ways you can do it. You can live it, well, I got to be a greeter again. Bless the Lord. I hope you're having a good day. You know, or it's like, hey, let me get that door. Man, I'm sorry it was raining a little bit. Listen, the restrooms are right over here. And by the way, if you're visiting here, here's our kids checking. Let me walk you right over here. You see the difference it would make if you're actually thinking, oh, here's my duty, or I'm a family insider. See, the way you see this changes everything about the way we approach God. All right? So let's look about this. Let's look at this because I need to move on here. In fact, that really ties into the third way that we relate with God. And write this down. A slave is driven by duty, and a son is driven by devotion. A slave is driven by duty, and a son is driven by devotion. A lot of us know what it feels to be manipulated or compelled to do something because you have to do it, as opposed to doing something because you love to do it. I mean, think about it like this. What if I came out and said, all right, everybody who read your Bible this week, let me see your hand. All right, all the rest of you sinners, read the Bible this week. You have to read the Bible. All right, third of you weren't here last Sunday. Shame on you. Never mind the fact you're here today, right? So, what? All of us have that little thing on the inside of us like, look, I'm not going to do what you want me to do just because you want me to do it. That's duty. Nobody responds constructively to that, right? Why? Because my heart's not in it. You're making me do this. So when it comes down to things like reading your Bible or praying or serving, there are two different approaches. If you feel you have to do something, your heart's not going to be in it. You're just doing something on the outside, and you're missing the whole point. It's what we do at a heart level that actually engages us with God. And that's what he's trying to say. I'm not trying to find ways to get, you know, a billion people on my planet to do their stuff this weekend so that everybody in heaven will go, oh, whew, thank God we had a good day on earth this week. I mean, it's not, God's looking to connect with his heart to heart. Doesn't that make sense? So a slave is driven by duty. A son is driven by devotion. We see this here when Jesus was dealing with Mary and Martha. And Mary had this heart for God. She just wanted to be there with him. And Martha was all worked up like, oh, yeah, my sister in here, she won't do it. And she said, Jesus is like, listen, you're worked up, but it's about the wrong thing. It's about us being together. That's what we're looking at. So let's talk about what it means to relate with God, because ultimately that's what the sermon's about today. Relationship is everything. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8, let's pick it back up again. It says, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature were not gods. Verse 9, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles, or the law again, the religious way of doing things? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? So what he's actually saying here is, if your approach to God is a duty-based slave mentality idea, then you're actually not engaging with God heart to heart like you really need to experience what God has for you. God is saying, I didn't do it that way. I did everything I did so we can connect heart to heart. So let's talk about what it means to actually relate with God. Three steps that will help you know God better. Number one, I have to see God as a father. I have to see God as a father. All right, what does God look like to you? Does it look like what we were talking about a moment ago, this big cosmic bully up in the sky that's just looking for people to get in trouble again today? Or is he a father to you? Well, the reality is we get this picture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 11. It says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, turn and touch your neighbor and say more. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See, once again, Jesus was talking to people whose concept of God was far different than who God actually was. I mean, this was revolutionary to these people. And what he was saying is, God is actually your father. But here's where this idea breaks down for many people. Many, 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 in fact, perhaps the majority of people who walk through the process of connecting with God do so through the burden of having a bad father encounter in their life. In other words, there was a painful experience with a father figure, either absent, rejection, abuse, some kind of something that happened, and it scarred your heart about what a father is. And I want to just stop for a moment and have a pastoral moment with you. I actually had a very good father experience growing up. Providentially, the burdens that I bear and the scars that God has healed me for, they're profound and they're many, but they're not that one. I've a lot of healing for me, but it wasn't that one specific spot. I happen to have a really good father. But what I actually believe is that the way our fathers relate with us is so profound that darkness actually works to fracture that strategically. So he works to cause men to misunderstand their role in fatherhood and somehow propagate the pain in their own heart to the children that they're raising. What I mean by this is there are times when the pain that we might have as men and fathers causes us to lash out wrongly because we've not been healed ourselves. And I actually think darkness uses that strategy to fracture that relationship between a child and a father because that's the single biggest influence we have to understanding who God the Father is. Let me just speak to two sides of this issue. Number one, if you have been on the receiving end of a father wound, I want you to know something. Number one, that is darkness. That's not just your dad. That's darkness is against you. That isn't the dad. What most people never really understand is that dads in big old bodies with complicated lives are just little boys trying to figure out what to do with the pain in their own life. I gotta be honest with you. We want to look like it's all together, but it's not. And what happens is if we don't let God heal us on the inside, the only thing we know to do is whatever it takes to survive. But that isn't how God wants us to relate. And so I want you to know, if you've been on the receiving end of a father wound, the heart of our Heavenly Father is to bring healing to that. To bring healing to that. You will need to let the Lord heal you of that, because what happens is we instinctively throw God into the experience we've had with people, and it's not accurate. So I'm telling you today that there's grace and healing for that, and it's real. I urge you today, if you're carrying a father wound inside, either at the end of this service or some other way, let's start the work of healing. God wants to heal you of that. Secondly, if perchance you as a father find yourself looking back the timeline of your own fatherhood and recognize, I've blown it, I've made mistakes, I've actually caused pain in somebody's life or my child or wife's life or something along those lines, I want you to know today that God wants to heal that too. No condemnation. This is not about condemnation. This is about understanding where the fight really is. The fight is never people. It's darkness. It's never people. It's darkness. So if you're on that side of it, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus can actually cover that and redeem it. Here's what we do with everything in our past, whether we're on the receiving or whether we're on the father side of this, we can do nothing about yesterday. But the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's what that means. He redeems the things in our past. He's redeeming today. And he'll continue to redeem tomorrow. Somebody needs to hear this today. Be released. And let the moment God's giving you today shift the way you see how you are as a father. Listen, men. God did not give us strength and stature and authority for us. God gave us strength. He gave us stature, size, strength, size, and authority so that we can protect our wives and our children and inspire their hearts to know who God the Father is. Your job, number one, has nothing to do with what you want in life. Our jobs as fathers, number one, is to represent Father God in a way that our children are drawn to the Father. And today is a turning point for many. Okay? So this is kind of a sidebar, but we can't go past it because this is where a lot of times the enemy intercepts our heart for God by bad experience. And I want you to know that the grace is here to heal that. Everybody got it? I didn't do this in the first service, but I feel something right now. Would you just bow your heads right now? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I feel an unusually strong sense of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking right now that you would do a powerful work of healing. I declare and decree in this atmosphere that no weapon formed against the men and women of God will prosper. And no word of accusation will have any effect from this day forward in the way we relate with one another, our children, or our fathers. I speak declaratively over the men in this church and declare that you had the capacity to receive the assignment God has given you in this particular journey through time, to be men of God, to be fathers that represent the Father. And everyone in this room that needs to be healed, I pray right now there's supernatural grace to receive healing. I absolutely bind every spirit of condemnation, self-doubt, self-loathing, all of those, I bind it in Jesus' name, and I declare you have no root left in this place. Holy Spirit, do a work of healing, I pray. I'm going to ask right now that every one of you today, whether, and it doesn't matter which category you're in, but if you would be receptive to receiving the work God has to heal you in either way, would you just raise your hands to the Lord? That's okay. Just slip your hands up to the Lord. Just kind of open your palms up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, right now, every person in this room who is in a receptive posture, who is desperately receiving your grace, multiply it to them in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Now complete the work you've started. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said? All right. So number one, you have to see God as a father. Number two, you have to approach God through relationship, not rules. So if we're going to relate with God, number one, we got to see him as a father. Number two, our approach to him has to be through relationship, not rules. Not rules. All right, John chapter 5, verse 39 says this. Jesus is talking to the leaders of his day. And he said, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me and receive this life. What was he saying? The goal isn't just to read the Bible so we can say we've read the Bible or so that we get the knowledge out of the Bible. The whole reason we read the Bible is to find God in there, to approach him relationally. The whole reason we pray isn't so that we recite a bunch of sayings or that we, you know, incantations or we just say the spiritual magic words just right and maybe God will hear. The reason we pray has nothing to do with any of that. The reason we pray is so we connect with God and commune with him and talk with him and relate with him. So we read the Bible to meet with him in his word. We pray to connect with him relationally. We serve as the Lord moving through us, all of those things. That's how he wants us to do this, not out of duty or rules, but relationally. Does that make sense, everybody? And number three, I've got to give God my whole heart. I've got to give God my whole heart. If I'm going to receive what God has for me, I can't just kind of walk up to the edge of God and test the water a little bit and go, well, I'll try this Christ-like thing a little bit, or I'll just see if this Christianity thing is, you know, my going to be the religion of my choice, or I'm going to see if these rules and codes of conduct are. No, 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 no. The only way to connect with God is heartfelt, all in, all you to him. It's got to be that way. Whole heart. Everyone say whole heart. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 and 14 says this. You will seek me and find me when. Everyone say when. You seek me with all your heart. Then he says, I'll be found of you, declares the Lord. What was he saying? If you seek him with all your heart, you're going to find him. But can I tell you what's implied with that declarative statement? If you seek him with half your heart, you won't. If you seek God with 90% of your heart, won't find him. Why? Because he's an all-in kind of God. That relationship has nothing to do with his convenience. He went for it 100% your way. You know what the picture of Jesus Christ on the cross is? It's a picture of God our Father going all in 100% for you. What was he saying? This is the only way it works. Hey, listen, guys, it doesn't work by ritual. It doesn't work by performance. It doesn't work by just a little sample here. I got to just try to be a little better person here. The only way any of this works at all is when I go after God with all my heart. And then the Bible says that's when you're going to find me. And today, that's the key for many of you in this room today who've tested the waters. You've circled the edges of this thing. You've tried for years to try to figure out, how do I feel this thing in my heart a little better? I'm telling you, the key is all in with no strings attached. God, you have me. That is the picture. If you're writing notes, write this down. Wholehearted relationship with God changes everything. Wholehearted, not half-hearted. Not, well, I'll do this if God does that. Well, I'm not going to do this because he hasn't done that. No. Wholehearted. It's yes. God, you've got my yes. I don't care if I ever get a promise. I don't care if you ever do anything for me. You've already done it all for me when I look at the cross. So you have my whole yes. Nothing is too great coming back from me. Why? Because I'm all in. The Bible says, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. Write this last little piece down. When we talk about God is in my heart, that means God has my heart. You know, we frequently talk about, you know, have you let Jesus in your heart? Have you received Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior? You know, what that actually means is not, did I say a little prayer? It's, does God have my heart? You know, a lot of times we try to find ways to relate these concepts. And many of us could relate to this. You know, if you have a dad and a mom, and maybe your nuclear family was fractured, but you can at least understand this concept. You know, why is it that, you know, right now people are playing NFL football all over the place, and inevitably somebody will pan the crowd, pan the players, one of those players will go, hi mom. Their mom didn't teach them how to play football. It was their dad that taught them how to play football, right? Now, what's wrong with this picture? How come the dads do all the work, and yet the mom gets the hi? You know why? Because that mom is in the heart. Mom is in the heart. Now, moms, you have a decidedly unfair advantage when it comes to this. Especially over those boys. Man, just got that mom. It's like, you know, sometimes I could talk about my mama, but don't you talk about my mama. Why? My mama's in my heart. That's what that means. It's when God is in your heart, that means he has your heart. And it affects everything about that. Now, here's why this is so important. Please give me about another 2 minutes to listen to this, and then we'll wrap up. All of this, again, comes down to what God is trying to do in you, for you, and through you. Here's what I mean. Even this today, when we're talking about relating with God relationally, is not for God. All of this is still for you. Think about what happens. What happens to me when God has my heart? That means he's in me. Can I show you something that may be insightful to you? Last scripture for the day, and then we're done. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works, what's the phrase? In you. Circle that one. He works in you. He works in you to do what? To will and to act according to his good purpose. Can I show you the profound effect of catching God? When you pursue him with all of your heart and he gets in you, the Bible gives us this picture right here that God goes to work inside of you and changes the willer inside of you. So many of us who use a ritualistic or religious approach to God, who try to do the rules, but on the inside we're hollow, God is saying, listen, it's the wrong approach. Let me in there. And what I'll do is I'll actually begin, because I'm in there, I'll actually begin to work on the autopilot of your will. I'll begin to change your will. And guess what? As you let me in there, my grace, we talked about this last week, as you let me in there and I begin to work on the will part of you, guess what else is going to change? The actions are going to change too. So the Bible's helping us understand in Galatians, it's never an outside-in transformation. All God is ever trying to do is get in. And the way he gets in is when we go all in. Let me bow your heads. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to us. I pray today, Lord, that your ministry will be effective in every heart, every life in this place. I thank you, Lord, that the grip of the Holy Spirit, who's really just kind of interrupted the flow of the whole day, including different parts of this message, will be fruitful in transforming our approach to who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a good work that's going to bear fruit in many generations. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask if you're in here today and you know you actually need to open your heart and let Jesus come all the way in, you're ready to go for him as an all-in kind of person and give Jesus 100% access to your heart. If you know you're in here and you're ready to make that decision today, maybe you've done that before. Thank you. I see that hand over there. If that's you, slip your hand up right now. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who else? 6, 7. Thank you. Anybody else? 8. Thank you. I see that hand. 9. Okay. You can put your hands down. I want to say a prayer, and I know this is a simple prayer, but I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud. Especially the 8 or 9 of you that put your hand up a moment ago, just say this from the bottom of your heart, this simple prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, in fact, everybody, Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sin and the desperate things I've done on my own as I try to fix the issues inside. Today, I yield completely to you and turn my life over to you. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. I want a fresh start in every way with you today. So I turn and give you 100% of my heart. You have me. Holy Spirit, fill me with strength and power to live this new fresh start with Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.